Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. First, it's pirates in the Gulf, and now it's a samurai sword-wielding maniac in Hollywood, California. What is this world coming to? This guy gets shot to death by a security guard acting in self-defense. Man, the world is weird. This out of the LA Times, a security guard at the Church of Scientology's Celebrity Center in Hollywood. Now, why would a church have a celebrity center? I'll tell you in a moment. It has to do with L. Ron Hubbard's plan for cashing in on religion. A security guard at the Church of Scientology in Hollywood yesterday shot and killed a man wielding two samurai swords. And the police said, yep, the evidence is clear. There's a security camera there, of course. There are everywhere. Some people are paranoid about that. I think it's pretty cool. And they said it's self-defense. A guy comes into the Church of Scientology. I mean, even cultists have a right to life. Even a cultist has a right to life. And he might be a whack job religiously, but that doesn't mean a samurai sword-wielding maniac is justified in killing you. And so we're fighting pirates in the Gulf. And we're fighting samurai sword-wielding maniacs in Hollywood. Now, L. Ron Hubbard, he started the Church of Scientology. And you know what the main teaching of that church is, right? His book, Dianetics. And it's that aliens from a galaxy far, far away escaped their planet when it was destabilizing. And they came to Earth, and now they like to live in, you know, everybody looks for a habitat that fits their needs. They like to live in people's heads, these aliens. But you can get various levels of treatment from the Church of Scientology, and you could be cleared. Have the aliens move out of your head for a price, and a hefty price, increasingly expensive based on your net worth. So that's L. Ron Hubbard's religion, Scientology. And who are the famous Hollywood actors who are into Scientology? Tom Cruise is the main promoter. And yeah, L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction author. That's what he did. Remember Superman, his planet? He's from Krypton. Sort of like Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. Bob Dole doesn't need this. Go ahead, throw away your vote. Remember that? You got to look at the BEL archives for that. Well, remember Superman escaped Krypton when it was destabilizing, it was going to blow up? And so L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction author, and in an interview, he actually made the point that a great way to make money would be to invent a religion. And he did, and Tom Cruise joined it. And the religion is that in a galaxy far, far away, aliens escaped their planet before it blew up, and they came to Earth, and they prefer to live in people's heads. And so if you're all messed up, you got muddled thinking, you're confused, that's because aliens are living in your head, and you can be cleared. And they have all different levels of treatment, and you go higher and higher, further in. And each level costs more, and it's all based on your net worth. So that's Scientology. That Germany, didn't Germany, I don't recall the latest, didn't they ban Scientology as a fraud or something, a cult? Okay. And should it be legal for groups to teach beliefs that are false? Yeah, it should be legal. The thing that should not be legal is fraud. You shouldn't be allowed to commit fraud. So, for example, let's say you're having a healing convention, a healing ministry, miracle ministry, and you say on KOA radio that, well, at our service last night, a girl who was born blind in Denver received her sight. So come on out tonight. Now, that's fraud, and that was done here in Colorado. And KOA Radio invited a Bob Inert Live staffer on, Doug McMurney, some years ago, and we disputed that claim. But that's fraud, right? That's fraud. But our governments, they don't mind when there's fraud committed in the name of Jesus Christ because it brings shame to the gospel. It discredits Christianity. So real estate fraud, they'll go after that. Well, not all that effectively, I gotta admit that. But they'll go after fraud, but not fraud committed in the name of Jesus Christ. They somehow seem to overlook that. Okay. What else is in the news? You're listening to Bob Inert Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll interview the author of Train Up a Child, Michael Pearl, and we'll talk about Train Up a Child and his books, Good and Evil, the comic books for kids translated into a dozen languages. They just released the color version of that. And also his wife wrote the book Created to Be His Helpmeet, which the ladies at Denver Bible Church have been studying. So should be an interesting program tomorrow, Created to Be His Helpmeet. Okay, now, let's see. This is good. China is angry at a U.S. rock and roll band. Is that what they are? Do you call it rock and roll anymore? What do you call it? Guns N' Roses? I don't even know. I'm out of touch. China is angry at Guns N' Roses because they released a new album, first album in a couple decades, and it slams China. And the album, for example, the title cut talks about the Falun Gong cult that was outlawed in China. And it has some lyrics saying, if your Great Wall rocks, blame yourself. And so China is, they're on the offensive and they're really angry today at Guns N' Roses. So it's, talk about a weird world. We've reached a point in history where Guns N' Roses has more responsible foreign policy than the U.S. government, and then the White House, and then the Republican Party. Better even than Colorado's Bob Schaefer with his whitewash approach to the atrocity of Chinese forced abortion committed in the Marianas Islands. So Guns N' Roses, that group is more responsible than our heroes. And that's where we're at. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So they have a more responsible foreign policy than does our government. Okay, this story has been talked about a lot over the last few days, and it's devastating. The family is outraged and distraught over this 19-year-old's suicide that he committed on the web live with apparently some hundreds of people tuning in to watch via a webcam, a live webcam broadcast of him overdosing on pills and killing himself. And his sister, Rosalind Big, just so devastated and said, this didn't have to happen. The website, they got so many viewers, so many hits. Nothing happened for hours. It was many hours before somebody called the police. Actually, the webmaster got some concerning, some emails. The webmaster got some emails from concerned viewers and called the police. And so people watching over the internet saw the police hours after this guy took the overdose, and of course all the mocking comments that are typical of the web. The web often brings out the worst in people. Even in Christian environments and pro-life environments and forums, it often brings out the worst. I mean, you wonder why there is a hell. There's a hell because of how rotten and how devastating sin is, and how cruel people can be. And if there wasn't a place called hell, then what would happen is heaven would turn into hell. If God simply allowed everyone who, you know, come together to bring about life on this earth as we know it, if God simply allowed everyone, whether they're humble or not, trusting him or not, loving him or not, to go to heaven after they died, he would simply turn heaven into hell. That's all that would be accomplished. So people say, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, the two reasons. One is because that's where they want to go. If they want to go to heaven, they'd go to heaven. But there are many people who say, I'd rather go to hell with my friends. And they get that opportunity. I don't think they'll enjoy their friends when they're in hell. For one thing, there are no drugs in hell. So a lot of people are going to be bored for a long, long time. But that's where people would rather go. You think, like, say, the Clintons, Bill Clinton, regarding promotion of homosexuality. You think he likes hanging out with homosexuals? No, Bill Clinton is heterosexual. And I don't think he enjoys hanging out with homosexuals, but he promotes homosexuality because intuitively he knows it's a form of rebellion against God. It's his way of striking out against God. And if homosexuality is a good thing, then automatically they have proved to millions and millions of people, especially young people, that the Bible is a bad thing. If homosexuality is a good thing, if it's acceptable, then the Bible is a bad thing. And Jesus Christ, his teachings are false. So that's why liberals support homosexuality primarily. It's not because they like hanging out in gay bars. That's not it. It's because intuitively they know it's a way of striking out, attacking God. And so this is true generally of the battle that we face as Christians in America in every sphere, in the sphere of religion and saving innocent children from being killed by abortionists and Planned Parenthood and opposing suicide and assisted suicide and euthanasia. There's a long war against God, and here we are trying and quite often succeeding in winning over people one by one to trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ. And so these people, they watch this guy saying he's going to kill himself on the internet, and they're just as, you know, some few are concerned. So many others are mocking. So many others are encouraging to go ahead and off himself, kill himself. And the family, of course, is devastated. And they say that this guy was depressed and he was taking a prescription drug for his bipolar behavior. And that's sad, too. You know, so many of these drugs, I Googled the name of the drug he was taking along with the word side effects. And there's a long list of side effects. And at the very top, it said, and while this professor from the University of London said only about 5% of the people taking this particular drug experience side effects, but at the top of the long list of side effects, and this is benzodiazepine, he said only about 5% of the people taking this drug suffer side effects, but this list begins with increased aggressiveness and even some violent behavior and depression, which sometimes includes suicidal thoughts. And so that's at the top of the list of side effects. And it's sad that so often, yeah, people are depressed. And of course, as our bodies are breaking down, they don't function as well as they did when God made us because of sin and the fall and entropy and the tendency of things to break down and get worse. Our bodies don't function as well as they did thousands of years ago. Things are not getting better. They're breaking down. They're getting worse. And the same is true with our minds. Our brains are an interface to our soul. And our soul spirit are interfaced. They're not physical. Your soul and your spirit are spiritual. They're not physical. And how do they attach to your body? Well, they attach through your brain. Your brain is the interface. And so when there's a problem in your brain, something is not right, then you have a harder time functioning as a human being because that connection, that interface to your soul spirit is broken at some level. And so there are physical problems, physiological problems that cause people to have a hard time thinking straight, and that could express itself in all kinds of ways. But then also there's a lot of, what would you call it? Sin. There's a lot of sin. And sin expresses itself in all kinds of ways, including selfishness and laziness and addictive behavior, whether it's video games or drugs or pornography or whatever. And so when you go to, let's say, a psychiatrist who is not a Christian, doesn't have a biblical worldview, he's sure on his list of solutions to your problems, so he can write you a prescription. And so we have millions of kids in school, for example, on Ritalin. Millions. Over what? Over 10 million kids on Ritalin and other psychotropic drugs. And so there's all kinds of problems with those drugs. And it's too bad. You know, ADD is adult discipline disorder. That's what ADD is. And if you go into a public school is an incubator for ADD. I mean, it's an incubator for ADD. They call it attention deficit disorder. Those kids could be absolutely fine just with parents and teachers who know how to discipline. Absolutely fine. So we have this young guy commit suicide on the internet while people are mocking and laughing and urging him on. And his parents are devastated. But we also have all the other behavior that's increasingly common. And by the way, there are a number of internet videos of people who've killed themselves online. And we also have teens, young people, older people too, but young people, kids, teens, young girls taking pictures of themselves naked, doing striptease on a video on their cell phone and then emailing it to their boyfriend, who of course immediately passes it on to all of his friends. And then it goes on the internet. And you have... We talked about this briefly, I think, when Doug McBurney was on the show. Ben Stein's movie Expelled, where he interviewed this famous evolutionist, William Provine, a college professor, evolutionist, author. And this William Provine, he's very depressed. And he's thinking about killing himself, and he says it in the interview. He says, I'm going to put a gun to my head and kill myself if I have a problem with a tumor. He had a brain tumor. And if the tumor comes back, he's going to kill himself. And hopefully he doesn't, because his tumor, since the filming of that interview, it did come back. And he says in Ben Stein's movie Expelled, William Provine says, there's no hope. There's no purpose. There's no free will. We're just all chemicals. We're just all atoms and molecules. That's it. When you die, that's it. It's over. It's all done with. And then there's the other college student who killed himself this past week, whose father was upset because he found, apparently was on a suggested reading list, Richard Dawkins, the God delusion, which promotes atheism. And this kid, this college student, was on the last page of the book. His bookmark was in the last page. His dad found it under his bed. And so William Provine, Richard Dawkins, these guys, they say, you know, when you're dead, that's it. It's over. So there is no purpose. There's no hope. Whether you're a mass murderer, a child molester, or whether you give your life to help those who are hurting and suffering, doesn't matter. When you're dead and Jeffrey Dahmer's dead, you're in the same boat. Actually, if you're an unbeliever, you're in a much worse boat than Jeffrey Dahmer, because Jeffrey Dahmer, for all his homosexual mass murderer wickedness, he repented. He repented before he died. And boy, did he repent. I mean, he really, really repented. By the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So I enjoy quoting Albert Einstein to these atheists and pointing out how Einstein said, hey, there's a gulf between matter and ideas. There's a gulf. And the two, they don't really go together well. In fact, ideas are not made of atoms and molecules. And so it doesn't make sense that ideas should arise from a material world, from a physical world. The laws of physics, they have no bearing on ideas. They're different kinds of things. The laws of logic are not physical. They're not physical. Back in 1936, Einstein famously wrote, quote, and by the way, we have these links on kgov.com. You could Google Einstein or Einstein's Gulf, and you get links to Google Books where you see the original quote in context. And back in 1936, Einstein famously wrote, the most incomprehensible thing about the world is that it is comprehensible. How is it that we should be able to form ideas about how the world works? How should that happen? Ideas are not made up of atoms and molecules. So how is it that we can form ideas if we're just chemicals and matter? And then 12 years later, in 1944, he was talking about one of the greatest fools who's ever lived, Bertrand Russell. And Einstein described the ability to get from matter to ideas as a, quote, gulf logically unbridgeable, which some scientists and linguists refer to as Einstein's gulf. So Einstein says it's logically unbridgeable to get from matter to ideas. And he's right. I remember Captain Kirk at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Captain Kirk, remember him, Dr. Kirk Johnson? He's the curator of the museum. Captain Kirk, we had the media with us on a visit to the museum because the museum promotes evolution. And we went around about, what was there, 60 of us, 70 of us, and showing the young people in our group, everybody, talking about each exhibit and how they were not true. And I asked Captain Kirk there, the curator, this here exhibit, this point right here, you present it as a fact that fish gills evolved into human teeth. I said, shouldn't you at least tell the kids it's down at a kid's eye level? Shouldn't you at least tell the kids that it's an assumption or some people think? You present it as though it's fact, as though it's truth. And he says, what is truth? So I said, well, Kirk, do you believe some things are true? And he's not necessarily. How could we know if anything's true? So I said, well, let's have some common ground, Kirk Johnson. You run the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. There's even a reporter there. And a group. And I said, let's have some common ground. I'm trying to get him to admit that truth exists, that some things could be true. I said, do you exist? And he didn't know. He did not know. He could not assert that he exists. He couldn't do it. And that reminds me of Bertrand Russell, you know, one of the most famous atheists of the last century, getting to the point where you could know almost nothing. if you deny the existence of God and that this a priori assumption that we should find an order to the universe and we should be able to rely on logic and reason to understand truth. See, if you don't have an a priori assumption that logic should hold up, that something could be true and not false, and that things can't be true and false at the same moment in the same way. If you don't have an assumption like that, you're in big trouble. Because then you can't prove that logic, the laws of logic are valid. How do you prove that? Do you use the laws of logic to prove that logic is valid? That's circular. And so Einstein points out over a period of many years that you can't get from matter to ideas. You can't get there. So how do you get to ideas? You have to start with something that's not physical, not material. You start with a spiritual creator. Our God made us body, soul, and spirit. In 1950, Einstein wrote that science can only ascertain what is, but not what should be. Necessarily excluding from its domain, as Einstein wrote, quote, value judgments of all kinds, unquote. So science can't prove that it's wrong to lynch a black man. The laws of science can't prove that. They don't address matters of right and wrong. So, for example, when National Right to Life has spent decades telling their activists that, can you call them activists? I don't know if you could call them. They're not very active. Telling them that in public we don't have to mention God. We're going to win this based on the laws of science. And we ask them, which of the laws of science use the terms right and wrong? None of them. None of them. So even Einstein in 1950 said science cannot make value judgments of any kind. And so, of course, human rights come from our Creator. And suicide, God is the one who told us it's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent person. And that would include yourself. And if you're lonely or depressed, you turn toward God. Turn toward God. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada with a great school in kgov.com.